Let's talk about how and when open source projects can spiral out of control. Because they all begin with the best of intentions. And in fact, they begin with excitement. Usually one developer has an idea and they think to themselves, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. And that's a really good feeling. We've all had it at one point or another. But here's how it so often goes. They have that initial excitement, and that serves as the fuel that propels them for a long time. They write a bunch of code. They release version 1. They do a bunch more code. They take in feedback. They're very active. They release version 2. And then at some point, that initial idea they had is done, and it has been implemented. And yet they still have to maintain this ongoing project. Now, that may not sound like a bad thing, but think about it. Once the initial idea has been realized, usually that original developer moves on to other things, at which point this initial project, even though they're doing their best to maintain it, it's no longer the focal point. Likely at this point, they've moved on to other things or other challenges at work, or maybe they have a brand new idea, and now they're trying to juggle both. Now, in my experiences with my own projects, and I've seen this with others as well, it's very, very common. Because it's, in a manner of speaking, no longer the center of your attention, you fall off a little bit and you start to rely on pull requests more. Now, here's the interesting thing. Pull requests are amazing. They are people from around the world who are freely contributing code to solve a problem. And that's really amazing when you think about it. However, something to keep in mind. The side effect is some pull requests are, of course, pretty generic, but often a pull request consists of somebody solving a very specific problem that they have. And you might initially think, okay, what's wrong with that? We're solving a problem. Go ahead and merge it. And so you do. You'll merge this one. Or here's a very rare specific case that this person ran into. Let's go ahead and merge that. Oh, this person needs this value to be configurable. So let's go ahead and merge that. And before you know it, everything has been made configurable to solve situations and circumstances that likely less than 1% of your users will run into. Now, after these pull requests are merged in, and don't forget, they always ship with their own layer of complexity and abstraction, and we're going to read from this config file, and we're going to pull this in, and we have to loop over it, and it is yet more things that you have to take in to account for this specific thing they're solving. After that PR is merged in, you as the maintainer now have to tend to it, have to manage it for the lifetime of the project. So this is one point where it's incredibly easy for a project to go south. You just want to make people happy. You almost feel this need to merge it as a friendly gesture or as a way of saying thank you for taking any time at all to work on this. But just be aware of the side effects. As the maintainer, you kind of have a higher level view of what this project is intended to do. As somebody submitting a PR, their goal, and so of course not all, but in so many cases, is to solve this specific thing they ran into so that they can get back to their work. And they're not really going to participate in the project beyond that. So you got to be careful. Now, let's get back to the original maintainer. They had this idea. They were excited. They worked on it religiously for 6 months, and they got it working how they wanted. And then they tapered off just a little bit and started relying on PRs more. So from time to time, they take a look at the PRs, and they merge them in. They do their best. And at some point, they start to realize that a majority of the code was not written by them anymore. And worse, if you're not careful, you don't quite understand the code anymore. Because think about it, for basically any code you didn't write, you need to take some time to really study it to figure out what it does. And if you're not doing this as part of every pull request review, you can end up in situations where so much of the code is foreign to you. That too is something to be aware of. Okay, here's one more, something else to be concerned about. When people submit PRs to your project, they will always adopt the existing conventions of the code base. Here's an example. Imagine, for whatever reason in a method, you have a bunch of conditionals, like 7 different conditionals to check what to do next. Very likely, that can be cleaned up, right? However, if somebody needs to add an eighth path through that particular code, are they going to clean it up and do that refactor? Almost never. Instead, they're going to follow the existing style and conventions for the project, which means they're going to add yet another conditional at the bottom. And 3 months later, when somebody has a new concern, they're going to add a ninth conditional at the bottom. So unless you have somebody or a team of people at all times steering the ship, you can see how quickly things can get rocky. And trust me, this happens all the time. I would say it probably happens in the bulk of cases. We end up getting spoiled by projects like React or Vue that are highly maintained to the point of people being paid to maintain them. But that is not most open source projects. Again, most open source projects originate from one or two people having an idea and working on it. And once that idea is done, they move on, but the project remains and people continue using it, even though the initial maintainer has sort of moved on, at least in their head. And now they're managing this project almost as a secondary concern. So this is a really good example of how things like this can go south, even though everyone involved has the best of intentions. It's not like the maintainer is trying to ignore the project, but they have other responsibilities. And it's not like the person submitting the pull request has ulterior motives. If they found a problem they're trying to solve, they don't realize that, okay, you extracted a configuration item here, but you're just one of 30 other people wanting to submit PRs to extract some configuration item. And after that, the whole thing becomes more difficult and more tiresome to manage. And you know what? I'm not even sure what the solution is, but this is why it is so important to sponsor people any way you can, to incentivize them financially to continue working on the project. Because if we're relying on passion alone, that passion is going to dry up and they're going to move on to other things by necessity for work or by curiosity. They've moved on and now they're really excited about this other project that's going to receive all of their energy. Okay, so some things to consider for your own projects or the projects you participate in. My name is Jeffrey Way, and I'll see you next time.